cannot waste your spiritual energy and zeal on projects that don't work. And how do I know which ones that don't work? If they're man-made, they're not going to work. God will not give his glory to no one.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Throughout Scripture, God has commanded us not to seek ungodly counsel. Join John Copeland and Jesse Duplantis today as they teach us how to recognize plans that originate from God.
Hello and welcome back to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland. I'm the son of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and they've asked me to host the last 2 weeks of broadcast, and it's been great. I really enjoyed it. And it's an honor to be here that they would ask me to do that. And it's been an honor also to work with such a good guy as this guy right here.
Thank you, John. I appreciate
Brother Jesse Duplantis.
I appreciate that. I sure have enjoyed myself these last 2 weeks.
Been learning a lot from you, Brother Jesse.
Thank you.
And Friday, you know, as we go to wrap this thing up, I think that what you've been teaching us has been right on. And, you know, if you've missed any of it, go back on the internet and watch them, because you know, the secrets to success are not really secrets.
That's right.
They're right here for everybody to have. Amen. But you're going to have to take them. You're going to have to put them into practice to make them work in your life. Otherwise, Amen. You can want to be successful, but until you...
A want to be doesn't make a be.
No, it just makes a want to be.
Yeah, that's right. That's so, true.
Jesse, as we're wrapping it up here on this Friday, you know, you might want to recap just briefly on what we've touched on and then get into this Friday to wrap this, bring this baby home.
Well, we started actually 2 weeks ago, and we were dealing about things that I do, and I do this on a daily basis. I want everyone to understand that. Whatever, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, the different ways to become a total success. And I started off, not last Monday, but the Monday before, be clear about your mission. Shape your own destiny, what you believe you must become, and what you believe you must do. See, if you truly believe in something, it will come to pass. But you have to understand what you're believing in, and the mission, and what and the destiny, so you can reach your destination. That was number one. Then I dealt with last week on lonely times in life, help you get clearer on your calling and your goals. Sometimes when you think it's not working, that's some of the best times in the world that you can reflect. And John, you begin to reflect and you get clearer on what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. So instead of saying, well, that just ain't working, you're wasting that time. You could say, here's a time for me to get stronger and clearer on what God's wanting me to do so I can be the success that God wants me to be. Then we dealt with do not seek people's approval. Listen to and act on that still small voice, which is God. That doesn't mean you don't ask for people's advice. But when God has told you to do something, that still small voice is speaking volumes. That is that's a vital way of becoming a total success spiritually, physically, financially, especially in the financial realm. How do you know what to invest in if you're dealing with finance? How? You better know what that still small voice is talking about. Then we dealt with the other word, passion. And passion is the power that creates life and helps you to achieve a cause. And King David said, is there not a cause? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you want to be a success? You got to be passionate about what you believe in, spiritual, physical, and financial, because it will come to pass if you get passion behind it, because passion pushes you. Passion says you can get there, and it will come to pass. Then we dealt with something. Don't live in the land of better. Dwell or habitate in the land of best. Just because things got better, that's good. But you don't want to live in just enough or better. You want to get to the best. You want to be able to do your best spiritually, physically, financially. We dealt with that last week. And the last thing we dealt with last week was don't judge others because you will open yourself up to major leaks in your life. I'm going to tell you, you start judging people, your focus goes off of what you're believing for your success in life, then you start leaking faith, leaking love, leaking peace, and before you know it, where you once were, you're already down 3 or 4 or 5 notches. You got to look up to see bottom. We dealt with that in the first week on how to achieve success in life. Then we started this week, Monday past, with listening to others, help you to see things differently, and helps you to see your situation in new ways. If faith comes by hearing, John, and it does, it also comes when you hear someone else say something. They can say something. You can say something that I am looking at my situation, and you quicken me to look at it in a different manner. And hey, I'm looking for this real complicated answer. And it was right there simply because I listened to what you said. We dealt with that in Monday of this week. And then we dealt with respect the royalty in each other. That's very important. The Lord has made you kings and priests. Never look down on someone. Don't never say, well, you know, let me bless you with my presence. No, no, you know, no, you don't do those things. Everyone that's born a king has been made a king and a priest, which means that's royalty. Always respect that. That's one of the key ingredients of becoming a total success. Then we dealt with always keep encouragement close to you. Why? It's the oxygen of the soul. Encouragement, man, you encourage people. Listen, if nobody's encouraging you, then bless God, do what King David did. He encouraged himself. And sometimes we need that. I wish other people would encourage, but sometimes they think, oh, John Copeland's so strong. You know, he don't need that. But no, everybody needs encouragement. You need it completely. That's a very vital part of becoming successful. Then we dealt with always be generous. Take as many people to the top with you. Generosity. Let me tell you, if you're a generous person, they'll talk about you for decades to come, even after you've gone home to be with the Lord. Generosity is one of the greatest newspaper reports of who you are. If you have a generous life, people will talk about it for centuries, for millenniums, because generosity normally comes from a good person. Then we dealt with never, never, never report news, make news. We did that yesterday. Jesus said, they said this about Jesus, never a man spoke like this man, because never a man lived like this man. Now, we took you through almost 2 weeks, and this is Friday, and that I would say the link that locks it all together so all this thing can come spiritually, physically, and financially so you can be the success that you want to be is this. Never waste your energy and zeal on projects that don't work. Let me say that again. Never waste your energy and zeal on projects that don't work. Just because it's a good idea, John, don't mean it's a God idea. Yeah. And one of those things is the Tower of Babel. Talk about a waste of energy. First thing first, their motive was wrong. We're gonna make a name for ourselves. You don't have to make a name for yourself. God will make a name for you. You see, I refuse to waste spiritual energy. It's one of the vital parts of being successful in life. It comes. You see, people say, why don't you fear? Fear, in my opinion, is a lack of spirit strength, which means your spirit's got weak. Brother, you're in the worst position in the world is when your spirit gets weak. Your mind must be renewed. Your body must be crucified. But you never let that spirit in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, become weak. So fear is a lack of spirit strength. So you never waste your energy and zeal on projects that don't work. People have asked me, why are you a success, Brother Jesse? Well, I don't have time to waste anything. I preached a sermon years ago, and people say it's one of the best sermons I've ever preached. It's called Fragments. Waste not, you'll want not. Your riches may be in your fragments. You may be believing God for something, but it's what you got around you is fragments like the pieces of fish and loaves. And it was enough for 12 baskets. 12 baskets is a lot of food. But see, people didn't think much of it because it was not in a big loaf this big. It was in piece form, you know. What happened, but if you collect it and put it all together, it becomes 12 baskets. I refuse to waste my spiritual energy and my zeal on projects that don't work. How many times, Kenneth Copeland mentions, you being CEO, people have come up and said, you know, if the ministry did this, if you use this, the ministry is going to make money. But it's always amazing that it's they making money at the same time. Now, I'm not saying there ain't nothing wrong making money. That's not
coming
teaching.
In the heart. You know, some of them are, but I mean, right. They're usually coming. We just want to bless ministries, and your ministry means so much. And
right.
Okay, then.
But if you
why
do
are
this,
you charging me so much?
Yeah,
to do
I'm getting 40% of it myself. Yeah, I was born tonight, but not last night. You know, come on. I mean, let the elevator go to the top. I've said that so many times. So I refuse to waste my energy, my spiritual energy, because I need that to live in this life. First thing first, we're in a war. You say what you want. We in a war. We got the principalities and powers trying to destroy us. I had a person one time say, why is that guy so mean? Why does he hate faith preachers? He's got a great personality. I said, principalities work through personalities. See, a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah, the guy's got a good personality, but he's half mad. You got some people here in Dallas, they're always accusing preachers, and I won't name names, but people know them.
I know who you're talking about.
Anyway, and yet, why? Well, that's a principality working through that personality. He thinks that he's doing something right. He reminds me of the Apostle Paul. I'm going to kill people. I'm going to drag them in the streets. Milo, because he thinks he's doing right.
In the name of God.
In the name of God. But that is a principality. I'm not saying they're possessed. No, don't add nothing to what I'm saying here. But that's a principality. And it could be. Let me just say that. It can happen. But
there is a case there that you could argue.
There is a case you could argue. But a principality working through a personality. That's why I'm very careful about my personality. Because usually your joy comes out through your personality. But also does your anger. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Now, how are you going to do that? I mean, that's not easy to be angry and not sin. I mean, you want to hurt somebody sometimes. Like one time I wanted to hurt somebody. I said, Lord, you believe in healing? I'm going to give you some work. You want to do something? You want to heal somebody today? I'm going to give you an opportunity. Well, I was wrong to say that. And even wrong to think it, much less verbalize it. I can't emphasize this enough on becoming a success in life. You cannot waste your spiritual energy and zeal on projects that don't work. And how do I know which ones that don't work? If they're man-made, they're not going to work. God will not give his glory to no one. Usually, there's been times I went before the Lord, and I thought this plan out. I mean, I thought it was good. And it was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. I said, God, what do you think about that? He said, present your petitions and supplications with thanksgiving.
Yes.
He said, well, first thing first, that was you thought it out. You did right. You underlined. It was at point A, B, C, D. But you didn't ask me one thing about it. That right there proved that what I was doing, even though it was a good idea, was not a God idea. It wouldn't work. Because what happens if you get in trouble? If your idea is not faith-based or God-based, who are you going to go to for help? Think about that.
You're on your own.
You're on your own, brother. And that's the whole key. See, God is under no obligation to do something he didn't say. So many people think, I've seen preachers build churches, and I mean this is a beautiful. God didn't tell them to build that church, but they wanted the biggest building, prettiest church in town, struggling to pay for it. I'm talking $130,000 a month church note, not counting insurance and whatever it takes to operate that. And God is under, he's the author and finisher of your faith, but he's under no obligation to finish something he has not authored. Would you get that in your brain? You see, just because you went out and do that, I'm not saying that was bad. I'm saying that was good. But what a good idea, but was it a God idea?
Come up with a plan and want God
right.
to bless.
Right, and all of a sudden you get in trouble, then you just throw yourself on him. Oh, God, you got to help. Well, he can, and he probably does.
Or how did God let this happen? Yeah,
God didn't have anything to do with it. You decided just to rush forward and go do something. One time I went before the Lord considering television. It is a good idea. I still think it's a good idea. I thought, man. But, you know, and I thought, he said, Jesse, that won't work. I said, it won't work. Look how good this can work. He said, yes. Yeah, but he said, things don't work till my anointing comes upon it. It's a good idea, Jesse, but there's no anointing in it because it's not a God idea. Mm-hmm. Then I begin to realize, and I got enough sense now that I've grown in the Lord to listen and to obey. And I don't take it personally. He didn't say no to me. He said, well, just since we're partners, would you please talk to me about this situation? Me and Kathy have been married for 40 years. And I said it, I believe it last week. People say, what's y'all success to? Because we got a good marriage. I got to say that. That doesn't mean we ain't had fights. No, we've had some. You heard me say fights. Now, I'm not talking punching this woman. I don't believe in that kind of stuff.
But she'd probably whoop you anyway.
She probably would whip me. She'd get a stick or something like that. I'm not talking about that. But we've had some scraps. But what made us stay together, well, naturally, we love each other, was friendship. I needed more than just a wife. I needed more than just a mother of my child. And she needed more than just the father of her child or a husband. We needed friendship here. Because when the rubber meets the road, you know, let's just face it. I mean, it's us. Mm-hmm. I see that in your mother and father. I want to tell you something. And I love Brother Copeland, but he's not at his best when Gloria's not around. That's not a shot. Because him and Gloria are one. And vice versa. They are one.
Agreed.
You don't say Kenneth, you say Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. You see what I'm saying? That's a connection there. Well, if you start wasting your spiritual energy on a project that looks good, smells good, talks good, everybody's screaming and hollering about it, what did God say? I'll give you a prime example of that. Years ago, I drove by this piece of property. I wouldn't buy it for 10 cents. I'm telling John, it's a piece of junk, okay? Mm-hmm. I drove by and the Lord said, buy that. I said, man, I don't want to buy that. That's junk property. But you see, he knows the future. Or he creates the future. He can create something for you. Yeah. I said to myself, man, I want to do this. Man, I don't want to do this. He said, well, anyway, I argued with the Lord. Finally, I said, God, forgive me. I bought the property, okay? I bought it. It's now worth, that particular piece of property, $5 million. And I paid $300,000 for it. I'm shouting, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Why? Well, first thing first, I didn't think it was a good idea, but in God's mind, it was a God idea. I bought another piece of property years ago. And I mean, I won't tell you something, I bought it for 10 cents on the dollar. I fixed it up, I used that piece of property, I drained and sucked everything out of that property, and everyone around me, including real estate people, said, you're not gonna get your money out of that. I made 100% profit on it. Why? Because God was in it. So now I realized something. God is not only a good God and a good father, he's a good business God. I enjoy it. I said, look at this. They said, well, you can't sell that. We have a friend in our church right now. Y'all might have heard about the Allslick, about this place called Grand Isle, Louisiana. You might have seen some of that on television. Some of the people, President Obama went to Grand Isle, Louisiana, and everybody was freaking out because the oil is coming up on the beaches, okay? Look, they're beautiful camps out there. We call them camps, but nice houses where people fish and charter. This man's believing God to sell it, a very expensive camp. Ain't nobody going to buy a camp on an oil-drenched beach. He sold his the other day with the oil on the beach. But God said, put it up for sale. And got the money that he wanted.
In this market.
Every real estate say, are you stupid? You crazy? But you see, he did not waste his spiritual energy or his zeal on what all everybody else was telling him to do. He knew God spoke to him to sell it for this price. It didn't make no difference if it had 30 tons of oil on it. God was in it, and it sold. And he's happy about it today. So a lot of times you can spend your whole life wasting spiritual energy. It's a wonderful thing. You get that from going to church. Let me say this. Church time is not throne time. So many people believe that. I went to church like you went to the throne. No. Church time is school time. This is where you learn how to function properly, that when you leave church, you take what you learn and apply. It's called application. Church time is not throne time. It's school time. Throne time is when you and God are together and you're fellowshipping. Now, I'm going to say something. I hope you don't misunderstand. People ask me all the time, how much do you pray, Bridge? I say, I don't have a lot of prayer meetings with God. I'm going to be honest with you, because usually I'm the one doing all the talking. I doesn't mean I don't pray, but I have a lot of business meetings with God. I mean, just the other day, I once said, Lord, we need a business meeting. Jesus, come see. I need a business meeting. I need to know what to do concerning this, because I don't want to waste any of this spiritual energy. See, I want to be a success, not only for his work, but also for my work. So I need a business meeting here. And when I finished the business meeting, then I had a prayer meeting. But it was not really a prayer meeting. It was a fellowship meeting. Mm-hmm. Because prayer is this. Let's tell you what a prayer meeting is. Jesus, you don't help me today, I can't make it. Jesus, oh God. And you know, you're doing all the talking. And then when you finish praying, you get up and leave. And God goes, you didn't give him a chance to say nothing.
Yeah.
So what I do is I have fellowship meetings with God. I have way more fellowship meetings with God and business meetings with God. Then when it comes to pray, in fact, Kathy said, do you ever ask the Lord to help you in certain things? Like the other day I hurt myself. And I have to say, this is foolish of me. I never once asked God to heal my body. I hit something, you know. Man, I came up with a black bruise right here. And I don't know how I got it. You know how sometimes you bruise yourself, you don't know how you got it. But man, I remember I touched it. I went, man, that hurts. And it hurt for about a week. But I never once, John, asked the Lord to heal my body. Yet I'll pray for people in a second if they're physically sick. Finally, Kathy says, Whitehead. have you prayed for yourself? And I thought, no. Well, when are you going to pray for yourself? You pray for everybody else. Why don't you pray for yourself? And I thought, that's a dumb thing. Not what you said. I went through a week of pain I didn't have to go through. God is my witness, John. Put my hand right here. I said, geez, I don't know how I got this bruise. I bruised myself somewhere. I don't know, somewhere jumping off something, doing something. I ask you, Lord, to take this bruise and take it away from the color of my skin and to heal this pain. John, and you don't have to believe this, but this is true. I didn't have enough time to get my hand off my chest. The pain was gone. Now, I didn't open up my shirt to see if the blue, you know, it was actually purple looking, you know, was there. But I tell you, I worked the rest of that day at the office. When I got home, I said, I'm going to take a shower. I immediately had that on my mind. I went in, man, I took my shirt off, and I didn't even have the bruise cut. And I thought, you mean to tell me, you dumb thing? You didn't even pray for yourself. And that, a lot of times, you can be very successful if you do pray for yourself. Sometimes Satan attacks you.
I think we all forget about it sometimes.
Have you ever done that?
We put up with stuff, and just you realize days later, I haven't even prayed about that. Or your wife says something to you.
Yes. And thank God for Kathy. Yeah. She really helped me about that. So on all the projects you want, maybe you believe in God to do something. Is it a God idea or is it a good idea? You need to know that. And if it's a good idea, and nothing wrong with it, but ain't no use to waste spiritual energy or zeal. But if God gets involved in your good idea, it's transformed into a God idea. The anointing gets around it. And then favor comes, and favor will get you something money can't buy.
I think probably some people out there who are doing some good ideas right now probably need to cut their losses and move on.
That's correct.
Take an assessment of your life.
Right.
And say, what am I doing? And it may be something good.
Right.
Maybe it's in something you're involved in the church, or maybe it's something outside the church that's a good cause. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we get so busy doing good things and doing things
right.
that we can't say no or whatever,
right.
that we wind up so busy we don't have time for God.
Well, we're afraid of change.
Mm-hmm.
I find that too. I mean, yeah, if it isn't working, man, discard the thing and go.
Well, because then you'd be, if I quit now and just go on, then I would have failed.
Right, yeah.
Well, you're failing anyway.
Yeah, you know? That's correct.
Just cut
your
losses.
How much you want to lose?
Cut your losses and go on. And don't waste your time and energy on something that you know in your heart that it's not going where it should be going,
right.
but you haven't found a way to just stop.
Well, you
stop,
know, John.
You know, cut your losses and go.
A failure is not someone that did something that didn't work. A failure is somebody just lay in the mud and just stay there.
Yeah,
at least you did
quit.
Something. You got up. You know, they say about Peter. Well, I tell you one. You know, he got out the boat, but he sunk. Yeah, but he the only one got out that boat. There are 11 other guys.
He sunk after a little bit.
Yeah, but he got out the boat. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a success. He got out the boat. There's 11 of them that didn't get out the boat. And I always say this all the time. If you stay in the boat, you only meet disciples. But you get out on that water, you meet Jesus. He's not in the boat. At least he got out of the boat. I love it when somebody says, I'm just willing to jump. But you don't have to worry about failing in any way, shape, or form if it's a God idea. That doesn't mean the devil won't fight you.
No.
Because he's going to come at you. But I guarantee you, when God's behind you, when you say, Lord, when God says, I'm behind you, I say, how far? Right there. He's got his hands on you. Every time I pick up my grandbaby, she knows she's secure. If a dog screams or hollers, and she does, but if I'm there, that all goes away. Why? Grandfather going to take care of this dog, whatever it is. It's the same way. God is behind us, John. We can't lose.
That's right. We need to follow God ideas and not good ideas. Stay right there and we'll be back in just a moment.
With 21st century perspective skewed by geopolitical issues and a global economy, perhaps it has become easy to discount individual responsibility for the communities we live in or the impact of a single voice on the politics of a nation. But history is clear. The 18th century British statesman and political philosopher Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Wherever freedom is born, it is the product of a proactive pursuit. When people seek to be free, doing nothing, in the words of Burke, is never a viable option. In the Old Testament, Moses instructed the children of Israel to be actively involved in the selection of fair and just leaders. And in the early hours of the American adventure, John Jay, the first Supreme Court Justice of the land, said, Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers. So for the 21st century believer, what is civil responsibility? In practical terms, it is the decision and commitment to participate. In modern elections, as little as 16% of eligible voices have elected our leaders. Become informed on individuals and issues. Learn all you can about the candidates. Pray for discernment and wisdom. And when the time comes, fulfill your obligation as an heir of freedom. And let your voice be heard at the ballot box. Responsibility demands that your voice be heard.
You know, John, this is Offering Day, and I love y'all doing this. I asked John if I could talk to you a little bit about sowing a seed and offering into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. One thing I know about this ministry is the generosity of it, but the faith that it takes to keep it together and the faith that it has proclaimed literally across the world. We ask you today to sow a seed into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Get somebody saved. Get somebody healed. Get somebody out of doubt and unbelief and get them into faith. Get them out of sickness and poverty and get them into healing and prosperity, the blessings of the Lord. It's an offering day. I think this ministry, in fact, I know this ministry is worthy of your support. I've been knowing Brother and Sister Copeland for many years. I've been knowing John and his wife, Marty, and his children. I've seen his children growing up. I mean, his daughter's now growing up to be a full-grown woman. His boys are growing up. It's just such a blessing of the Lord. I ask you today, and I don't say this very much. Many people have asked me to do this for them in other ministries, and I haven't. But I will do it for this ministry because this ministry is a great investment in God's work. So pray about what God would have you do today. And I tell you what, you're going to add to the kingdom of God. And then believe for the hundredfold. My Lord, you have Kenneth Copeland Ministries behind you, believing with you. Why not? It's in red. You'll be blessed by it because of the power of the anointing that's on this ministry. I'm a partner of this ministry. I'll always be a partner of this ministry. I tell the people at my church, I tell my own partners, be a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Because I'm going to tell you something, they're doing a marvelous work literally around this globe. Do something today. I don't have much. Don't take much. It just takes everybody obeying and believing God's word. Do something today, John.
Well, thank you, Brother Jesse.
Oh,
that was
welcome.
Good. For those of you watching the broadcast outside the United States, you know, your offerings stay in your area of the world and they're working there. And that money doesn't come back here to the United States. It's used to further the gospel there where you are. Brother Jesse, I want to thank you, man. It was a blessing,
John,
to have you here and an honor. Had a lot of fun doing
it. Yes, sir.
And I know people's lives are changed.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
If you missed any of these broadcasts, just go to our website at kcm.org. We've got these and many more broadcasts that you can look at. Go to church this weekend. If you're anywhere near New Orleans, Louisiana, go see Jesse and Kathy's church down at Covenant Church. It's going to bless your life if you do that, because I know y'all are teaching the word
down there.
Well, this is John Copeland and Jesse Duplantis reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this broadcast and other KCM products, go to kcm.org. You'll find extensive resources of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you need. Have faith in God, awaken your heart to Him, and live in the blessing every day.